We, several weeks ago, made a commitment that the legislature, in their infinite wisdom or dumbness, decreed a couple of years ago that school board elections would be in the November election. They said it's more people that vote and more people would get engaged. It'll be an exciting process. And of course, the yo-yos in the legislature forgot how much goes on in a November election. And we were concerned that education and understanding the issues facing the men and women who are charged with the responsibility of setting policy at our school districts would get lost in the shuffle. So we made a decision on this program that we would pick the six school districts in Marion County, or actually in the area, that had the largest African-American enrollments. And we would invite all of the candidates on the ballot running for school board to come on the program as part of Candidate Tuesday. So we've had Warren Township in the House. We've had Washington Township in the House. We've had Lawrence Township in the House. We've had Wayne Township in the House. We've had IPS in the House. And we've saved, they're so happy here at Pike, that I saved the best for last on this Candidate Tuesday, the candidates for Pike Township School Board are in the House. That is the major portion of a discussion on the program today. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar, or even though if you live in Pike Township, you may not be familiar with the fact that according to the 2010 census, of the population of people living in the Pike Township school geography, 46.3% are African American, 3.9% Asian, 12% Hispanic, 38% white. Of the school district itself, now this is from last year's enrollment, because it's going to take the state of Indiana, the Department of Education, an entire year before they put up this year's, the new school year's enrollment. But based on last year, nearly 11,000 students in the Pike Township schools, 58.7% were African American, 18.8% were Hispanic, 12.9% were white, 7.1% were multiracial. And 53 plus, now you see how good my math is, 62% of the students in Pike Township were on free and reduced lunch. That's kind of the basic overview of the Pike Township schools. In the House, we have four of the candidates on the school board. Three are incumbents. One would like to be an incumbent, would like to be elected to the school board. We have in the House Ricky Hentz, Nancy Poor, Larry Metzler, and David Coffer. Guys, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos.
Let me start with the ladies. Let me start and go around to each of you and simply ask, why are you running? Let me start with Nancy Poor. Nancy, why are you running?
Well, thank you, first of all, for giving the spotlight to education. I think that's terribly important, and particularly in an election year that has had so much attention, we need to refocus our attention on this. This matters. And by the way, I was not in favor of the November election. going to why I'm running, I've served on the board now for 8 years. Looking at the current composition of the board, Mr. Metzler and I would be the, so to speak, oldest members of the board. And I'm running partly to provide the community with the continuity of insight that I have developed over 8 years of service. I've served on a lot of different committees, and some of the basic changes that have happened over those 8 years I would like to see continued and, to some extent, expanded. So I'm running, and partly I'm running because there are things that I have not been able to accomplish that I hoped that the district would do. I'll give you one quick example. Would be I have been very concerned about our start times in the high schools across the nation, not just Pike. And that's one area that I would like to see improved that I have not been able to accomplish in my previous 8 years. So there are some things I would still like to see happen. I guess the other thing is that I just can't seem to shake the depth of my interest in education. I find myself constantly reading, studying it. I enjoy it. It's kind of a natural passion, having preps, because I raised four children in the schools. I've been involved for over 20 years. So... It just feels good to run again.
Ricky Hentz, why are you running again?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Amos, for giving us this opportunity to come before you today. One of the main reasons why I'm running again, I run for re-election, and currently I'm in my last year, my first term, just making sure that I keep maintaining our quality instruction, promoting our healthy, safe environment, and keep connecting our business and communities together and engaging our parents. And one of the things that during my 4 year term is that we've had a parents council that we've started up, that we're getting our parents more engaged into our school system. And that's one of the things that that our superintendent Jones has been very instrumental in, making sure that we get involved and stay involved in our community and making sure that we're doing the things in our community to educate our kids and making sure our kids are great citizens in this community. Basically, just making sure that I continue the work that I've done. I have been in Pike Township for over 20 years now, and I've lived there. I intentionally moved to Pike Township because of the diversity that we have in our district. That I'm raising a daughter, my wife and I. So we wanted to make sure that I continue those efforts and continue my involvement and keep serving our kids in Pike Township.
Larry Metzler, why are you running?
I continue running just as a matter of being able to give back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from a family of 9 children that all graduated from Pike, so we spent 106 out of 107 years in the Pike schools, and my mom graduated from New Augusta High School, and my 4 daughters have graduated from Pike. So Pike has been very good to our family, and I think my background between being a former teacher, former business owner, active in the community, gives me a good forum to be able to help protect the interests of children in the school district.
And David Kofer, why are you running?
There's a couple of reasons. Thank you, Amos, for having us here. Two of the main issues are, one, communication with the public. There's a big gap between what the administrators and the present school board members know what's going on. A lot of times that information doesn't get passed down to both the residents that have kids in the township, as mm-hmm. well as those that don't.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one thing that we did with the Pike football team a couple of years ago is we started a website for Pike football to help communicate with the parents. Because, as you know, a lot of times information that's brought home with the kids doesn't make it to mom and dad. It doesn't get out of the backpack.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is trying to increase the graduation rate. Mm-hmm. Now, I know the graduation rate on paper and on the screen, it says it's 90-91%.
Mm-hmm.
My son graduated from Pike last year, and there were roughly 650 kids in the graduation class. But if you go back and you look at the data, when he was in seventh grade, there's 200 kids that are unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those kids moved to other schools. But year after year after year, there's 200-plus kids that are unaccounted for.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them drop out,
mm-hmm.
And some of them, like I said, go to other school systems, whether it's Rebuff, Wayne, Washington, or the private schools. So I want to try to retain those kids.
Let me follow up, David Kofer, because you're the non-incumbent. And so if you're elected, what would you be doing? What would your priorities be that the current board is not doing? What would you be doing differently?
Well, from what I've seen, that is it. Working towards a better student-teacher ratio
mm-hmm.
in the middle schools and working towards getting those kids that are dropping, I'm assuming they're dropping out because they're off the books.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
Working towards a better vocational program.
Okay.
Not every kid's going to go on to college. A lot of kids that I know didn't go to college that was in my son's graduation class last year.
Let me follow up on vocational with the others that are here. I mean, that has become I don't want to say a buzzword, but that we've started to hear more about vocational education in the last 6 months than we have heard in the last several years in education around here. Some of it Mike Pence started with making vocational education a specific part of his platform. John Gregg, obviously because of his experience at Vincennes University, he's talked about it. Rupert Bonham, who will be with us live in our second hour on Friday, has also talked about it. And as we have taken the program out on the road to different school systems, we've seen how Lawrence Township handles some vocational education with their McKenzie Center. We've seen how Wayne is doing it with Ben Davis University, which when I first heard about it, I thought this was a prep school for college, and that's not necessarily the case. What does Pike do in terms of vocational education? Because there are a lot of listeners that are saying, yeah, not every kid is college material. And some, you know, we still going to need a plumber. And the last time I checked, some plumbers make more than a PhD. So I may pick on the plumber and ask, because he's got a plumber uniform on. Can't mention the name, but anyway, it's kind of like that. Larry Metzler, what is Pike doing about vocational? And given that whoever becomes the next governor of Indiana, vocational is going to be part of his vocabulary. What's Pike doing about it?
Well, I would say that we are currently involved with the J. Everett Light program, but I would also say that this is an area where state and federal governments have interfered too much. My master's degree is in vocational education, so if you think I have a passion for that, I do. Fact is that when you start tying funding for Title I, to the different programs we have, and then you put accountability in it for the coursework that is required for that, sometimes those courses take more emphasis than what the technology courses, for instance, that we used to offer at the middle schools and offer a very limited amount of those at the high school now. Those technology courses didn't actually fit towards the state standards, so we were forced to apply our classroom time more to what we could do to meet the state standards. I would say in my time on the school board, probably my hardest vote has been to eliminate the technology programs at the middle schools because we needed that class time to apply towards math and science. You know, certainly important areas, but I am here with everybody else to say that there are students that need that wider exposure for things that they can use on all through life and for continuing education in areas outside of where they would be going to college.
Ricky and Nancy, is there anything you want to add into that? David, Ricky?
My background.
Yeah, Nancy?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
My background includes career counseling, and I worked for several years also at a college running an internship program. So I am absolutely devoted to students having a chance to at least job shadow multiple times and preferably to do some kind of hands-on internships, paid or not. Those things are not only insightful, but they're huge time savers in terms of the student being able to weed out things that they might have thought they were attracted to. Probably the best example is someone who thought they wanted to be involved with medicine, and they just can't handle the nitty-gritty blood, and they don't know that until they're in an environment. So in terms of vocational, I would echo what Mr. Metzler has said. It was difficult for me also to see the programs at the middle school pared back. I felt that it was one of many situations where it seems like we have an either-or approach, and something goes when it would have been better to have retained some of it and not go one way or the other. But a lot of that was done, I think, in response to heavy pressure to beef up, in particular, algebra courses. And that's a topic we could talk about for another whole hour.
Is it something, Ricky Hens, where the state has to figure out, you know, what their priorities are? That the priorities seem to have been more algebra, more math and science, and less quote unquote vocational or providing courses that might turn a kid on. That maybe the kid's not great in math right now, but if he or she had something else that turned them on, that they would be great with what they're turned on, and then the math and science, you know, that light bulb would come on, because kids' light bulbs come on at different times in their development. But we got three candidates for governor that are saying something that the educational establishment of this state has not been talking about for a number of years.
Absolutely, Amos. And one of the things that I can see from my daughter, she really loves math, but she also gets into the skills, trying to make sure she have a skill for herself too. She's 9 years old, but she's engaged. She likes to make sure that she's involved and having those hands-on tools. And one of the things that that we do in Pike Township also is that each freshman, during your freshman year, I had an opportunity to have Nancy's son, Derek, to shadow me at work. And they were able to come in and see how whether or not they want to go into that particular job, that particular field. And we have that opportunity for our kids, you know, going into their freshman year. They're able to do those things to shadow different people, different professionals around in the community. And I really enjoyed that opportunity. It was very insightful for me to have someone that was interested in something that I do.
239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name, is, or you can send us an email at praiseindy.com, or you can send us a text message at 85620, keyword Amos. We're with the folks with the Pike Township Schools. It has the second largest enrollment of African Americans of any school corporation in the Indianapolis area, behind IPS. That's kind of like to use an analogy from the debate last night. It's kind of, IPS is like an aircraft carrier. And Pike is like a destroyer. So I'm trying to keep Navy. You know, less ships, moving forward. 239-1310, 239-1310 is afternoon's name. Speaking of Pike Township, in a way to help support Pike Township, our broadcast will be live from Pike Township, from the Outback at Pike Township this Thursday, our seventh annual fundraiser to help the Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner effort. We'll be at the Outback at 3454 West on 86th Street. That is on 86th Street, just east of Michigan Road in Pike Township. That makes the Pike Township trustee happy, that everybody comes out to beautiful Pike Township. All we ask is a donation of $25. It's from 11 to 1, $25. It's a special luncheon, no speeches. No program, no awards, no trophies, no somebody giving up, and no, not even any singing, no songs, no soloists. It is all $25. Outback is cooking all the food for free, so that the entire $25 goes to the Moselle Sanders Foundation to help feed hungry families on Thanksgiving, so that no one goes hungry on Thanksgiving. So they'll have the blooming onion, they'll have the salad, they'll have the mashed potatoes, they'll have either seafood or steak. It is good. It is exciting. We need you to come. Now, if you've already RSVP'd, that's cool. But, you know, a lot of y'all don't like to RSVP. You just RSVP. You just want to show up. So we take cash. We take a check made out to the Moselle Sanders Foundation. They will take MasterCard and Visa for sure. No, they won't take no EBT cards. Now, come on, let's be real now. From 11 to 1, our live broadcast will be at a special time from noon until 2 this Thursday in beautiful Pike Township. It is our annual, seventh annual luncheon to benefit the Moselle Sanders Thanksgiving dinner. We want to see you there, 3454 West on 86th Street. 86th Street, just east of Michigan. Y'all know where that is. Yeah. And the food is better than the fast food places that are all around there. So just come on out and join all of us. A lot of folks will be there, even people running for high and low political office. So your opportunity to get with the candidate, find out what's going on, all that and more. We'll continue with the folks from Pike Township. When we come back, I'm going to bring up something that the school board candidates in Wayne Township brought up, and that is they were concerned about the reduction in assessed value of property and how that might affect their transportation and construction budgets. And I'm going to ask the people when we come back who are running for Pike Township Schools, they actually reduced the assessed value of Lafayette Square. What does that do to Pike's y'all forget that's in Pike Township. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. We're with candidates for Pike Township School Board, Ricky Hentz, Nancy Poor, David Kofer, and Larry Metzler. Indianapolis Business Journal reported that Simon Malls, because they were the ones that brought the appeal, got a whole bunch of money back because the assessments that were levied on Washington Square out in Warren Township and Lafayette Square in Pike Township had been reduced. When the folks from Wayne Township were here, they were concerned that the assessed value of property in Wayne Township is going down because we're supposedly on this new system where the property is supposed to reflect what it actually is, not, you know, some inflated system. Are you all concerned with things like that happening to Pike? Because obviously that affects the transportation budget. And since there's not a lot of great public transportation in Pike, in order to get to a Pike Township school, you need a bus. Unless you literally are across the street from that school, as well as the construction, because at some point, you know, if home buying starts back up again as the economy goes back, Pike will start to grow. Next thing you know, y'all gonna have to build another school or two. Is that a concern? Is that something on the radar screen?
That's absolutely a concern. One of the things that we have been very proactive with is the educational funding within the township. Mm-hmm. When we hired Mr. Jones, now going on 8 years ago, his primary emphasis was curriculum, but the very first thing that he came in was come in and look at our budget, and we made about $5 million worth of cuts in that first year as a proactive move to make sure we were on financially sound footing. I believe that it's reasonable to say that we have the best basis for funding in the Marion County area, that we are solidly run on a financial basis, but we're always looking for ways where we can save money. We're aware of the concerns with the property values dropping. Lafayette Square, we had to make a refund to them, I'm going to say 12 years ago, time kind of runs together, when they were reassessed then. And it shouldn't be any surprise to us when we look at Lafayette Square right now and see the number of vacant buildings in it that, yeah, the value has gone down. So we're aggressively looking at means to make sure we're controlling our costs and yet still giving the best benefits we possibly can to our students.
Ricky.
And also, we have one of the biggest office parks in the state, being at Park 100. So we have a good base there too. So and one of the things that, like Larry had mentioned, that one of the things that we try to do is that we make the cuts, the appropriate cuts, and also we do the things in regards to writing grants. And we've had over $25 million in grants that we've written for the last 7 years. So, and that's often helped us offset some of the things that we've done to make sure that we have quality education, quality instructions in our schools. So we've always been proactive, and Mr. Jones has always been that way. And we really value that he has that forethought to do that.
239-1310, 239-1310 is after his name. Let me go to the phones. And Brenda, hi there.
Hi, Amos. Thank you for taking my call today.
Mm-hmm.
And hello to the folks who are running for school board.
Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, this question is for Mr. Larry Metzler. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm a parent. And you were part of what happened to my son while at Pike, the maltreatment of my son who's hearing impaired. We get several calls about the Pike Township school districts and how they treat black males out there. So this is the question for you all, especially you, Mr. Larry Metzler. Would you support the collection of data from your Pike Township school district regarding the disparate treatment of black boys, i.e. suspensions, expulsions, referrals to special education, and many times the criminalization of black boys? That is the question that I have for you, especially you, Mr. Metzler.
All right. Since Brenda's directed that to Larry Metzler, we'll go first to him for a response.
I think that we have looked at those rates on a continuous basis. That is absolutely a concern for us. Anything we can do to better educate students, it costs a lot less to educate students than it does to put them in prison. And our goal is to provide with as many opportunities as possible. There's no doubt that we do have students that we don't reach, and any one student is one too many.
Let me follow up on that. The folks out in Lawrence Township at the board level have launched an initiative where they really are looking at disparate treatment across the entire school district. They did a PowerPoint presentation about 3 months ago at a board meeting where they brought up these statistics, including, you know, exactly the percentage of African Americans and the disparate in terms of suspension and expulsion. Given the fact that as a township, no one racial group has a majority in Pike Township. It is the most diverse township in this city. And yet the school system is a black majority school system with a slightly higher percentage of African American students than IPS. Is Pike at a point where the community really needs to know where the system is in terms of whether there are disparities, but whether it's with African Americans or Latino or Asian or what have you, and then what is Pike planning to do to reduce those disparities?
Ricky, as an African American male, I really, one of the things that I really take to heart is try to make sure that we're doing what we can to be fair, firm, and consistent. One of the things that we have been doing is to make sure that we're fair with all our students. You know, if there's any concerns or anything that has gone on in any of our schools, I'm the first one to say that, hey, we need to get the information together, making sure that it is quality information and not just hearsay and someone is saying something to get back at one of our teachers or administrators. We want to make sure we have some firm information. And then we will go forward and make sure that we do the things that we need to do to take care of the situation. Because at the end of the day, we're in the business of making sure we educate kids, and we take that to heart as a board of seven. We take that to heart to make sure that we want to make sure we educate every child. And if we're not doing that, we're failing. So we want to make sure that we're doing that. Our hope is to make sure we educate everybody. And every day we try to do that every day.
David Kofer brought up graduation rates earlier. And I think the last time I looked at the data on graduation rates, you know, African Americans were doing well, but there was maybe a higher percentage than I would have liked to have seen of those who got a diploma through waivers. Let me ask, David, what's your position, since you're not an incumbent board member, on waivers? You know, should the district, you know, how should the district be using waivers for a kid to be able to get a diploma?
Well, however you can get a kid to finish his education, I think is the foremost thing. But as far as the rates go,
yeah,
you got to go back and you got to look at the kids from elementary school on, and in elementary school, the kids are doing fantastic, but it's at 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
You hit that middle school wall,
and I tell you, there's been study after study that shows if the kid starts falling off there, you're going to lose him when he becomes a freshman. Mm-hmm. So you got to change your focus to the middle schools.
Ricky Hansen's grabbing my microphone over here.
One of the things that. Yes, we know that there are some challenges there in the middle school level, and every school district has those. And one of the things that we're doing to make sure that we have our Pike Preparatory Academy and making sure that we are doing the things to educate our kids to be successful. Yes, the graduation rate, we are at 91% at this point. Yes, we do have the extent of waivers. I think about 10% of those are waivers. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure, like David said, we want to make sure we get every kid through our system and making sure that they're productive citizens. We want to make sure that we educate everybody. And that's how we're going to do that, is to make sure that we're doing the things to get our parents involved and making sure that we have the community involvement there.
Let me go to Mia at 2. And I'm going to get back over here to Nancy right quick. Let me go to Mia at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. This is Mia. I'm sure you remember me.
Uh-huh.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. My question is, my son was in Pike Township. He got put out of Pike Township into IPS. I live in Pike Township. He's artistic, and Pike Township Schools helped him out a lot. How can something like that be done to get the kids who are artistic, who's not in Pike, get back into Pike?
I remember that case because you lived down close to High School Road, 46, 42nd?
Yes.
There's a couple of questions in this. One is the winding, meandering, messy boundary in the south, in the southern part of Pike Township that abuts IPS. Just seems to always have confusion year after school year. Is there any way, we're in the 21st century now, that can be refined and figured out? I remember Mia's case where her son was doing great in Pike. And then somebody said, well, no, you moved over here, and Pike took a position where you moved, so you have to go. And we're in a situation where all the taxpayers of Indiana are paying the cost of education. Do we need to look, Nancy Porn, I know you wanted to add something, you know, on the previous conversation, in looking at some of these boundary issues?
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of talk about school choice and mm-hmm. parents being able to drive where a student goes. But in reality, in many respects, there is a limited amount of space in every school district, and the districts do control to some extent. I can't address mm-hmm. this particular family's situation, right. And I know that Pike has an extraordinarily devoted program for children who are autistic. So I can understand the interest and empathize with the parent trying to find the best place for her child. But in terms of setting boundaries, board members don't set the school boundaries. We do within the district, mm-hmm. but as to across boundaries, we do not. We also have, in some instances, a limited amount of space to take in students who would be coming from other districts if there was a school choice kind of situation.
Is Pike still at close to capacity? I know there's some districts that aren't at capacity, and so they're of the attitude, hey, everybody's welcome.
Depends on
the building.
Yeah. Okay. Because yeah. I know Speedway ain't taking nobody that don't live in Speedway.
But yeah, that's
a Speedway thing.
But it's more than the building. It's mm-hmm. also the staff in okay. the building. The mm-hmm. staff is what makes the building. Mm-hmm. Speedway has a lot more space capacity within their schools, mm-hmm. but then they'd have to add staff in order to handle that additional capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think one of you mentioned class size. How critical is that, balancing staff to bodies and trying to keep a reasonable class size that a teacher can not only control the class, but the quality of learning for those students work?
Well, I think, can I comment
yeah,
on that?
I
think one of the things that has been alluded to is that we've had changes at the middle school level, and there was a time when our middle schools, for example, a teacher would have a total, this is not individual class size, this is a total complement of students to teacher, of about 125. Now we are at about 150 per middle school teacher. And that's, so though you may not in an individual class have huge numbers, mm-hmm. maybe 25 per period, class period, the teacher's carrying a heavier load and is less able to reflect on Johnny in fifth period these days. And that's where I think that board members, and I think it's one thing that those of us who've been around for a little while do develop a little more temerity about raising concerns about adequate funding for schools. You can trim back over and over again, mm-hmm. and the subtle changes that happen, the 150 versus the 125, are not visible to the public, but it does have an impact on the quality of engagement of that middle school teacher with the individual student, because it's harder to get to know that many students.
Mia, you still there? Mia, you still there?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm still here.
Your child is how's he or she doing in IPS?
He's not in IPS anymore. I had to put him in a charter school, which is require extra help, mm-hmm. which technically Medicaid is not paying for, but they're going ahead and keep him anyway.
Okay. Because it was seen.
But when he was at Pike, he only had like two or three people. Now he's got like team leaders to help him.
Okay.
Plus his therapist from Daymore has to come up there and help as well.
See, that's why I'm trying to figure out, you know, I understand boundary and I understand capacity, but, you know, sometimes it just seems like comments.
Well, I don't understand. Oh, I don't mean to touch up, but I don't understand what the capacity or the boundaries, because if Dr. Jones, at the same time with my son, when he was putting him out, he had invited 300 kids from IPS. So how can you put the special needs kids out at the same time that you know, inviting kids from IPS?
That's a good point. I tell you what, Ricky Hens made me a note, and he, if you would be so kind as hold on and leave with Chris off the air a name and a number where you can be reached during the day, he'll follow up with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, appreciate it. 239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. One of the other issues is, you know, some of you know what the A through F grades of your schools are going to be when they're released, maybe next week. This is worse than waiting on who's going to win American Idol, or Dancing with the Stars. And we're hearing that Marion County schools are going to, the results of the A through F grading are going to be rocky. I guess would be the term that I use. Without you all, I don't want you to violate any kind of confidences or embargo or what have you, but when these grades are released, it's reasonable that there's going to be some Pike Township schools that score A's. Is it reasonable that there may be a larger number of D's and F's and that people in Pike Township are going to be concerned?
Well, this is a topic that is really just emerging, and I think one key thing that needs to be said about it is that the design of it is flawed, in my opinion. The concept seems to be that schools are like a group of students, and somehow you will end up with a bell curve in a district, or in a state. So you will always have some who are failing. You will always have some who are exemplary. And then the bulk will be in the middle, and the majority of them will be in the middle. I really wrestle with this approach to improving schools. I don't see how placing pat labels on students or on schools accomplishes much. I spent a lot of time on a committee in Pike that looked very closely at our grading practices and our assessment practices. And we have, that's one of the things I'm most proud of that we've done. We've leveled our grading scale so that it is in conformity with the other districts in the state, and particularly in the metropolitan area. I'm very happy that got accomplished during my 8 years. But one of the other things we did was we looked a lot more deeply into how you assess a student and how you assess so that students, it's referred to as assessment for learning, you assess so that students are able to improve and they don't give up. And I think that the wrongheadedness of attaching A through F labels to schools is that it is demoralizing, it is not insightful, it may make you desperate to improve, but it doesn't make you inspired to improve. And though it may offer second chances in the sense that you keep on trying, I think that it really treats the educational institution in a way that no other institution would want to be treated. I'm sorry, I could go off on this soapbox, but if you go into Kroger, you see the employee of the month. You don't see the worst employee of the month. Mm-hmm. We are trying to motivate, not defeat. And I don't understand this approach to motivating.
It's almost like using the example, you go in the grocery store, that may not be the best grocery store in the chain, but there's no indication when you walk in there, this is not the best grocery store in the chain. And you see the employee of the month or the meat person of the month or what have you. Ricky, we're going to...
Well, one of the things also, and even with that grading level too, it doesn't reflect the work that's being done at the school, the quality work of all our teachers and all the administrators and the students that have been busting their butt to get to do the things that they need to get done in that school. Because you got one way of rating a school, but why aren't we looking at other ways to do that too? Because you can't just put a one approach to evaluating a school. If you're going to do that, you need to make sure that that the whole system is fair. If you're not, long as you're not rating the school with Marion County School with a school up in Elkhart, Indiana, or rating a Marion County school with a school in Southern Indiana, how can you do that? So, because there's that different, there are different schools.
And David Coffer, you talked about in why you're running better communication with the public. Whose job is it? Let's just say this data comes out middle of next week. You know, the state is going to give it to all of us in the media. You know, we're quickly going to go and look for A and F. Because that's how we in the media are looking at things. And we're going to be looking at it very coldly and very dispassionately. We're going to say, here are the A. And yeah, I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be, okay, here are the A schools, run them down. Here are the F schools, run them down. And people will be listening to radio. Oh, my little Johnny's school got an F. Shaniqua's school got an O. Oh, what are them lousy so-and-so? What responsibility does a board have in, you know, telling its side of the story quickly and effectively to a community so that all of a sudden people are watching the 6 o'clock news and here comes Andrea Moorhead saying, "I, you know, in Pike, here's the F's," and trying to explain it might be an F, but maybe it's because 40% of the kids were brand new in the school year, or there's all the different languages spoken in the school, or there's poverty, or there's a variety of factors, or missed it by that much.
Well, I think it's both the board's as well as the superintendent's responsibility to get the word out. And if I was on the board now, like someone said earlier, these results have been made not public, but the school systems all know what their grades are.
Mm-hmm.
They should have a letter sitting on a computer
waiting
for the send button to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And Pike, just very recently, has a computer system that is utilized by the parents and the teachers and to some extent the administration as far as communication goes. It's called Skyward.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the parents use it. Some of the parents have never been on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be a letter sitting, like I said,
ready to go.
So the minute Tony Bennett says make it public, the superintendent himself can hit the button and send this letter out.
Is it something, Larry Metzler, where if the superintendent hadn't got the letter ready and the board hadn't got a letter ready, they're probably listening now saying, "Oh my goodness, we better get the letter ready." But how critical is that?
I think
because you know how the media, we all react on iStep, how we all reacted on iRead, and you know we're going to be going crazy with this stuff.
I think the communication is absolutely essential, and I think our superintendent does a great job of being prepared with these items. But I've heard in every one of my campaigns when I've run for the school board that communication is an issue, and communication is a two-sided issue, that it's not just getting it out, but having people receive it on the other end. And if we look at the different communication efforts that go out, whether it be our newsletter, whether it be the different things available, our board meetings are now webcast or podcast. There's so many different things that we're doing with communication that unless you have to look for them, that's maybe the hard part. And a lot of people, you know, I'm not as technology versed as I'd like to be, and it's not easy for me to look to find things. But yet, you know, when my kids were in school, I was interested in finding what was being sent home. And with a lot of single parent families that are so involved in raising a family, and they're split so many different ways, it becomes really hard to pursue the communication from their perspective that is available for them.
Do we need to, do school systems need to make that communication easier? And it's not just the people there. Most people in a township or a school district don't have kids in the school and probably haven't set foot in the school since they went there, or if they, or in Pike's case, they went to a performance at the Pike Performing Arts Center, or they went to a championship football game or a championship basketball game. That was the last time they set foot in a school. Is part of the challenge for school board administrator? I mean, you're talking to voters in Pike who have no connection to the school, no kid connection to the school. You know, how do you communicate and engage those folks?
Well, there is a newsletter that goes out, but you have to be on the mailing list. Okay. You know, so they're, like Larry said, it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. But the website is right. Nowadays, everything is web-based. Mm-hmm. One thing that Pike has done is they've gone in and revamped their website. So right. Don't look at it now.
Don't look at
it's
it now.
It's not up.
It's not. It's,
no.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Just in time for the holiday season.
Yep.
Okay.
If you go to the individual schools, those websites have been overhauled. There, about a year and a half ago, I sat on about an 8-member board that included a couple administrators as well as some teachers and a few parents. And after they saw what the football team had done with pikefootball.com, they took note of that and asked for us to sit in on the revamp of it.
239-1310. 239-1310's afternoon's names. We'll take a break. We'll have more with our folks from there Friday. Speaking of education, Glenda Ritz, the Democratic candidate for superintendent of public instruction. We will talk to her in our first hour. Rupert Bonham, the Libertarian candidate for governor, will be here in our second hour along with Joe Donnelly. Yeah. Oh, somebody did another poll. It's still tied. There's been like 8 or 9 polls in the U.S. Senate race, and they all have said the same thing. Donnelly and the My Way or Highway guy are tied. I've never seen – usually polls go up and down, the presidential up and down. This thing, rock solid, tied. You talk about a race where literally one vote is going to make a difference. Your vote will make a difference. That's at least one of them. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. All right. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos with our first group of folks from Pike Township. We got another panel coming because there's just so many. Why is there – I got to ask you, why is there such interest in running for the school board in Pike Township? I mean – IPS, fewest number of candidates in a long time, just 10. Some of the other townships, 5, 6, or 7. You guys take school board as a not a spectator sport. Why the great interest in Pike?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It's not for the pay.
Mm-hmm. Please reinforce that, because we've had callers who think that people are running for this because it's a high-paying job.
No, these guys can tell me because I've yet to get a paycheck for a school board position. But – I believe it's somewhere around $2,000 plus or minus.
Yeah.
And then with some of the IPS, if I remember, it's $16,000, $18,000.
I don't even think it's that much anymore.
But anyway, yeah. I think there's a lot of parents that are involved and want to be involved in their children's education. Unlike some, like you said, some of the other townships where some of the candidates are running unopposed. Mm-hmm. At least here you're going to have a choice.
Mm-hmm. And it's top three or top four?
Top four.
Yep. At large. Winner take all. And are you getting interest in it, or is there concern in Nancy, you'd expressed you didn't like this idea of November, neither did I, that this is getting lost in the shuffle between president, between Senate, between governor?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think you kind of have to fly under the radar of some of the negativity that is happening in education these days. And mm-hmm. if you do that, what you do is you go out and you visit the schools. And mm-hmm. Pike has always been a district where you could walk into a grade school as a parent, as a prospective parent. When we moved here from Illinois, you know, some 20 years ago, I felt absolutely embraced by the way that the schools allowed parent access. And as that went on, in my role as a PTA president for several years, parents were engaged. They were involved. And that's a really strong part of Pike. We also do programming that, you know, you were talking earlier about looking more closely at what is happening to young black men.
Right.
And we just hosted the National Education, I'm going to get this wrong, the National Association for the Education of Black Child mm-hmm. at Pike. And mm-hmm. so things like that are there not only for our teachers, but also for the broader community to attend. I just think Pike schools generally draw a lot of dedication from the parents and families that are involved in them, and perhaps that's why it's as gratifying as it is to be on the board.
All right, standard closing question with all of our candidates. If people want more information about your campaigns, how do they get a hold of you? We'll start with Larry Metzler.
You can reach me by email is probably the best way, ljm0555@yahoo.com, and I'll try and respond within 24 hours.
David Kofer.
David for Pike at gmail.com.
David, and that's for the number four? Or
No, F-O-R.
David, F-O-R, David for Pike at gmail.com. Nancy Poor.
My email is poorrobin, and that's P-O-O-R-E-R-O-B-I-N at yahoo.com.
And Ricky Hentz.
You can reach me at either rdhentz at gmail.com or either call my phone. That number is 317-514-7685. 317-514-7685.
All right. Incumbents, Ricky Hentz, Nancy Poor, Larry Metzler, challenger David Kofer. And tonight at Pike, wait a minute, they're having free health screenings at the mm-hmm. Pike Performing Arts Center.
And a movie.
The building that Zionsville copied after. They really did. It just stole y'all. And that is The Weight of a Nation, free health screening samples. What time?
The Weight of a Nation is a film about obesity okay. and the serious issue of obesity facing our country.
And what time at the beautiful Pike Performing Arts Center?
5:30 is when the pre-game things start okay. with the health screenings. And I believe the film is at 6:30 or
yes.
7.
Mm-hmm.
6:30.
Okay. All right, guys. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank
when
you
we much. Come back, some more candidates running for the... I told you, it's an army of candidates out there in Pike Township because they take education seriously. We'll continue the conversation this afternoon with Amos on a very busy Candidate Tuesday.